Hey, this is Jay.
And Aaron.
And Richard.
And we're the VCR Kids. We watch movies from our childhood and we see if they still hold up. Aaron picked our movie. If you haven't noticed, we have been kind of rotating who's bringing a movie to the table. And she decided to go with E.T.
E.T.
So, Aaron, why would you like to introduce this movie that we all already know holds up?
This was a big part of my childhood, and I loved it, but I was also very scared of it. But I really loved it. But the other day, I was like talking to my class about like just random movies. I don't know. We were playing some background music and it was John Williams. And they were like, I was like, oh yeah, he wrote the songs for Jaws and I named them all. And then I said E.T. And they were like, what's that? And I said, E.T. is a movie about an alien who is sweet. And they were
so let me get this straight. They didn't know E.T., but they had seen Jaws?
No, they just... so we play like a game with that music where we go dun 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 dun, and they were like, this is the shark music. And I was like, yeah. So they just know that's like shark music. Okay. So.
Isn't there like a baby shark song? Wouldn't that be the new shark music?
Yeah, but no, they call that baby shark, but they're like, this is the shark music. So there's that. But when I was a kid, like, and I'm talking like little, like two or three, I don't know if my parents like made me watch it or if it was just on or if I somehow knew about it, because I know for a fact I didn't watch anything until I was 3 years old. And they made this big deal about it. But I loved E.T. And like in my town, they had a statue of him. Like in, like it was like a photo op thing, like him in the bicycle. So like he was in the basket of the bicycle. And my mom tried to get me, I don't know where it was. Maybe, I don't know where it was. But my mom tried to get me to like sit on the bicycle and like do the photo. And I wouldn't sit on the bicycle. It scared me too much. I like sat on the curb next to it.
Wow.
That was agreeable to me because I really wanted a photo with E.T., but I was like too scared to get close to it. I don't know why, but I just remember really loving him in that whole movie, but also being afraid.
That's a great story. Yeah. If you're wondering, we did recently do Jurassic Park, and kind of the reasoning behind that was that we wanted to eventually do Jurassic Park 2 and maybe even 3. There's not really any reasoning behind this one other than just Aaron kept yelling E.T. at us.
I think that there's some more inappropriate stuff than like I maybe realized when I was a kid.
Well, I think they like digitally removed some of the offensive stuff in this movie.
No.
Yeah. Like, I know, like, with the cops, they replaced the guns with walkie-talkies for the 20th anniversary.
Yeah, I thought it was just one of those ones where they replaced it with, like, dildos or something.
Yeah.
No, that way ratchets down the, like, suspense. What does he do, pointing a walkie-talkie at them when he lifts off into the air? Why would he need to lift off into the air if he didn't think they were in imminent danger?
I don't know. Well, I think that was around the time that, was it Lucas was doing all of his special stuff to his classics. It might've just been in the minds of all these directors.
I'm going to just come get them and make them change it back.
There was I heard an interview with Spielberg or something where he was addressing that and he was kind of like, yeah, like I had kids when, between when the first one, when the original came out and the reissue. And I just like, you know, you change, you don't want to like have people pointing guns at kids when you have kids at home.
Right.
Too bad.
this won 4 Oscars, but notably did not win Best Picture. Gandhi won this in 1980. What is this? 1981?
Nine or something?
Two? Early 80s? 82?
It's a lot later than nine, Aaron. Or earlier than nine. Yeah.
I don't know. I've never seen Gandhi, but this should have won.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just...
I've seen Gandhi.
Yeah, it's... I think I'm...
This should have won.
In some universe, I'm still watching Gandhi. so long. But this movie was the highest grossing film of all time for 11 years until Jurassic Park. So Spielberg was just printing money back then.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Jaws before this too?
Oh, I don't...
Jaws held that for some time at some point. Or maybe it was just highest grossing R movie or something.
Yeah. I think adjusted for inflation, Jaws still wins. Because
well, now you're just making out of your butt.
No, because it ran for so long. It was in theaters for like an extremely long amount of time. It was like one of the first like wide released movies. Look it up. Don't believe me.
What was the most? I was kind of reading something. You said Jaws.
Yeah, it was like...
Aaron said Jaws was the first wide-released movie.
No, it was like one of the first ones where they like... Yeah, I'm serious. It was the first of something. They either are long-running...
I think maybe you're thinking that it created the summer blockbuster. I mean, it's pretty famous for that.
I'm Googling it right now. Like it, I Googled can't wait Moss, for this. Which is apparently a missile of some kind.
Melissa Matheson did the screenplay. She also did the screenplay for the 1979 The Black Stallion. So, shout out to horses.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the thing about this, Jay, you're right. Like, I cry during this movie every time I see it. I've seen it many times. Obviously, it is universally acclaimed and considered one of the best movies of the 80s, if not all time. So.
To be honest, I don't know the last time I watched this whole thing. Like, I know that I've seen a bunch of parts of it, like on TV or wherever, but I can't think of the last time I sat down and watched the movie from like start to finish. So, I mean, I guess I have that to look forward to.
Yeah. And Aaron, you'll know that, was it Empire Magazine? Said that E.T.'s flight to the forest with Elliot was the most magical moment in cinema history.
Yeah. My favorite part is when they load him up in the bikes and like all those kids, they're like running from the police on the bikes. Like that whole scene, to other than the fact, the one flaw is that they hired stunt guys who were huge to be the kids. So you can clearly tell that it's not like actually the kids riding the bikes, but
they look like grown men.
They're very large. And compare, like, the guy that plays Elliot is like 3 times that kid's size.
What was that movie we watched? Was that Child's Play, where like it would be a little doll and then it would run and it'd be like a grown person, like,
right? So I just like. Yeah, so like that's the one flaw in it. But if you just like put your little movie lens, like if you try not to think about it, you can overcome. But I really love that scene.
The most disappointing thing about this movie, I can already tell you, is that E.T. isn't thrown around like a little rag doll, because that would have really tipped it over the edge for me.
I never understood, like, when they find him in the woods and he's all white. That always freaked me out really hard. I was like, I never understood it. Like, why did he leave? Why did he do that? I never understood.
He had to go home.
But it was like being separated from Elliot made him sick. I don't know.
The weirdest part of this movie is, I don't know if you've ever been to Universal Studios in Florida, Richard.
I have.
Have you been on the E.T. ride?
Many times.
Oh, goodbye, my Richard. God, that thing is.
Yeah.
The weirdest thing about that is, like, apparently Spielberg had this whole, like, wider E.T. universe that he had planned for, like, TV or movies or something thank God it never went through, because those freaking ET things are so weird in that ride. Yeah, and these were like it. All characters that were supposed to be in this wider universe.
Like, yeah, I'm very glad that that didn't happen, because I hate that.
Yeah, I feel like everything around this, there's some things around this movie that were questionable. Like, there was an infamous video game that was like considered one of the worst ever, and they buried it out in the desert. There's this whole story behind that. That's interesting. I love that ride, though. You're right, though, Aaron. At the very end, when they're like, they say your name.
Yeah. Goodbye, Richard. That's how it
but
is.
But it's like everyone in the car is like, goodbye, Richard, Aaron, Jay.
Goodbye, Aaron.
Are you guys ready to go watch E.T.?
Yes.
We're going to go watch this movie that we know is going to be great, and we'll talk to y'all in a little bit. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Jay here, your favorite host of the VCR Kids. Well, one of your top three favorite hosts of the VCR Kids, at least. What's going on with you guys? I'd love to hear. Just let me know. I'll leave a little open space. You can talk back, and I'll definitely hear you. Oh, that's really great. Or I'm really sorry about that. Or fill in the correct feeling I'm supposed to have there. Listen, if you do actually want to hit us up and talk a little bit about nostalgic movies, or really kind of anything nostalgic or 90s era, you can do so on social media. We are all on social media. You can find us at the VCR Kids. And then we all also have our own handles on the various social media platforms. So if you have a question for Erin about why she picked a movie that is widely acclaimed as a classic, you can tweet at her or ask her on Instagram or whatever. If you have a question for me about why I gave her such a hard time, ask it. And I will gladly answer it. And Richard, if you have a question about the Hornets, he will talk to you for hours about it. That dude loves Charlotte basketball. And again, you can find all of us through the VCR Kids. We are at the VCR Kids on all social media. Also, if you have a longer question, feel free to email us. We have an email, thevcrkids@gmail.com. Other than that, everything has been pretty much trucking along same as usual here. Thanks to our listeners in Australia, we saw some pretty big numbers coming in from there the past few weeks. So that's exciting. Finding some new audience in a new part of the world, always super cool. And if you think you have a friend who would like the show, or even if it's just one episode, because we've done 150 movies now, this is episode 150. That's not even counting the Harry Potter series that we did. Let them know about the show. And if you do it on social media, tag us in it. We'd love to see who's sharing the show and give you thanks on there and give you a shout out. So other than that, love you guys. No specific call to action I have this week other than tag the VCR Kids when you're telling friends about it. And thanks. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Okay, everybody, we are finished watching E.T., the classic Steven Spielberg alien picture. A lot of thoughts about this one. I don't know if we necessarily need to do a plot recap, because I feel like it's one of those ones that's in everyone's hearts and minds to some degree.
Yeah.
And it's an insanely straightforward story.
Yeah.
I will say there was a lot of the beginning that I don't remember. And I don't know if it was just like, it was not interesting to me as a child because no one was talking. Like mm-hmm. all the stuff with the aliens in the beginning and like the cars coming to chase them down.
Yeah. You were like, I do not remember there being this many ETs. And I was like, yeah, there are that many ETs.
Right.
But I'm not sure if it was that or like, we also could have had a version that was taped from TV and maybe we missed the beginning of it or something.
That could be.
Because that's something that happened a lot at our house.
I didn't remember them peppering in, I haven't seen it in a very long time, like the government like continuing to kind of like sneakily look for him and kind of like closing in on their house. Like when I was a kid, I just remember being very shocked when the alien, or not the aliens, I call them that because they show up in spacesuits, when like the NASA scientists people show up and they just like invade the house, like where'd they come from?
The astronauts.
Yeah, they're wearing moon suits.
That was kind of dumb. I'll you know, like there's one thing to have like a hazmat situation, mm-hmm. but yeah. to wear like a full-blown astronaut, like
spacewalk suit.
Yeah.
I said the same thing and Aaron was mad at me for saying that.
Well, I said they're just being extra careful.
Yeah, it was pretty dumb.
It's all self-contained. It's a sick alien, guys. Who knows? They could have started the coronavirus.
It's true.
I think for me, one of the very interesting things watching this now and kind of it is really just kind of like seeing the impact that it's had on a lot of pop culture stuff lately. Like a lot of stuff that has gone back to like the 80s or has kind of had that Steven Spielberg-y coming of age vibe.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously like Stranger Things comes to mind, but a lot of kind of other like middle school, high school movies and stuff that have come out since then, how similar or how much they took from this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was thinking about Stranger Things. I was like, I hope they sent Spielberg a check.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
after watching this again,
the outfits are like almost the same. Like and like the yeah, a lot of it's quite similar. Yeah. The stylizing of things.
What was the line? This is real life, Greg.
Is reality, Greg. Like he was like, why can't they just beam him up? This is reality, Greg.
The thing I didn't remember was E.T. dying for like 15 minutes. I was like, this is horrific. Yeah. It just, in my memory, I remember that being really tough to watch as a kid. I just didn't realize it just stretched that out so much. Like he's this chalky, they find him or the older brother finds him next to a creek with like a raccoon mm-hmm. going by, like
yeah.
just straight up almost dead.
Yeah, I remember hating that when I was a kid. Just like, oh no, yucky.
I heard someone say he looks like a dried up dog poop.
No, he's just white.
Yeah.
Like they like rub like he looks like a powdered donut, honestly. Like that's about the consistency of his. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And then it's never really explained why that happens. I guess because he can't be away from like the others. And that's like the others of his kind. Like they're all kind of in like this hive mind thing where they have like, you know, their hearts all beat at the same time. And like it shows their chests like glowing at the same time. And
my assumption was because him and Elliot are connected and they're like, they have share each other's feelings and stuff. And
I thought
Elliot was like sick from being out all night.
I don't think so. I thought it was like, cause they showed the flowers like slowly dying, like even before mm-hmm. he turned white. So mm-hmm. like the flowers were kind of like a symbol for like how he was doing. And so he started talking about like phone home. And like they showed the flowers starting to wilt. So he like knew it was time, like he knew he needed to call them, but I thought he attached to Elliot to like help him survive on Earth without his people, so like him being connected to Elliot helped him survive for longer. That's what I thought.
Yeah, well, because like he was dead, E.T. was dead, and then his whatever family came back and his chest started whatever and he was back. Right. So it's like his people coming back. There must be something like that going on. But traumatic. It was traumatic as a grown ass man watching that. Cause I was like, this is just shot. Like these are long scenes. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of told from a child's perspective, like the whole movie is, but it's just really weird in that like a medical setting.
Yeah. And they kept like pumping him full of medicine and stuff. And I was like, how do you know that's good for him? You don't know.
Speaking of traumatic, what did you guys feel about the frog scene?
Oh God. As I was watching that, like I'd forgotten, like I knew there was like a frog dissection thing or like a thing with frogs, but I was like, oh God, they kill them and then they cut them open. Or like they cut them open while they're still alive and kill them. That's not good. Like, of course I did a frog dissection in high school. I think like a lot of people did, but they gave us already dead frogs in formaldehyde.
Yeah.
I had to do a lot of dissections and I just hated it because of the smell of formaldehyde. It's absolutely disgusting. Because I took a marine ecology class, so we dissected like all kinds of stuff. I missed the fetal pig. I like am glad I didn't have to do that one. But
yeah, in high school we had to do a cat, which was pretty traumatic.
Oh no, I couldn't.
Yeah. The scene that the part of that scene that I love the most was that one kid, because Elliot's reenacting the scene that E.T.'s watching on the TV.
So connected.
And that one classmate falls down between him and the girl and he steps on that kid to kiss her because he's so short. That was the one moment I was like, that's pretty good. I love that.
I also forgot about E.T. getting drunk.
Oh, yeah. He was getting lit.
Yeah, that was funny. I like Drew Barrymore's character through the whole thing, too. She just said whatever, but that's like how a kid would do. I really liked when she went, I don't like his feet.
Yeah, I also didn't like his feet.
It was funny. And I thought, like, as I was thinking about it, like, we really didn't see, like, full-on E.T. all that much. Like, they used a lot of, like, distractions, like, with his hands or him, like, moving things. Like, you just see his hand or, like, you just see part of his head as he's, like, walking behind furniture. Like, and so then when you do see the full E.T., it's very, like, impactful.
Mm-hmm.
And or just his face in the blanket, you know?
Yeah, there were a lot of fingers in this movie. Very
because his finger healed cuts and stuff.
Yeah,
and he kept going like
ouch.
And I really liked when it was Halloween and the older brother, what's his name, Brad or something, had the knife, like the fake knife through the headband, and E.T. kept going ouch, ouch, like insisting, like to try and fix it, and he's like, get that hand away, because the mom was like taking the picture.
Michael and
your Brad.
I don't know, I think there's a Brad, I don't know.
And Drew Barrymore is Gertie.
That's what I said.
So I mean, I'm just reading the list here. I just
Yeah, and they were playing Dungeons and Dragons in the beginning, so we know they're real nerds.
Oh yeah,
not a Brad.
Mm-hmm. I think they keep giving each other D&D insults because Elliot keeps yelling zero charisma. And then I really, for the love of me, can't understand what the other kid said, like something supremus, Cetus supremus or something.
He said it was no charisma. And I know what you're saying. Yeah, because they went back and forth for a minute there.
Did it multiple times.
Yeah. That was an awkward shot. Right after that, they're on the bus for like 4 seconds and they're all throwing paper, and then that was it.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that could have just not been in the movie.
I was gonna say that I thought I think this movie is extremely well shot.
Yes.
Like one of his better shot ones. Cause I don't know if I'm thinking that or if, like, I don't know if that's true, but it seems like
you're just
like
saying
he did
that
because
you just watched it.
Well, no, because we just watched Jurassic Park 2. Not Jurassic Park number 2, but also we just watched Jurassic Park. But I felt like he lined up, like, even simple things. Like, I'm not just saying, like, obviously the flying the bike across the moon is one. But they just like set up a lot of shots like very interestingly and well, and I thought it was well shot. Like
there's a lot of lights. You can also really see the J.J. Abrams influence from this movie.
Oh yeah.
Was he involved in it?
No, but it's just like very well known that he's very influenced by Spielberg and like a lot of his like the light sources and lens flares and stuff are very similar to this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some bizarre stuff. Like the lighting is beautiful and the smoke. You know, it's
so much smoke.
Yeah, very smoky,
very
movie.
Misty, yeah.
Like when she was washing the dishes and it was just like a cloud of smoke coming
but
up.
But I said that's like our sink. It's like steam from the hot water. Because our sink gets like insanely hot. You have to be careful.
What was that astronaut guy doing? He was like coming through the window with his hands first.
Yeah.
Let's just break into this house.
Yeah. But the mom, I was like, I don't even know what I'd say if that happened. But she went, "This is my home." Like, probably I would say something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like for me, I just had such a hard time with that scene when they were like invading the house. Because I think so much of this movie is based on like building as much reality as possible. And then like getting this kind of like sci-fi fantasy element in a real world. And that just like felt so bizarre. Like that whole scene was so bizarre as far as like,
well, they couldn't,
like you think they would at least like knock on the door and like try and talk to the people first. Like
probably not. Not if there's a sick alien in there. Like
they, yeah, why would they like all invade from every,
to make sure they can't run away. The house. I don't know. It's weird. I don't know, but like, I don't know that that wouldn't happen because they obviously can't move E.T. because he's dying. Elliot is dying too. Like they figured out they're connected. So like they can't move either one of them really, like realistically, because they have to like be next to each other. So like, how are you going to do that? You know, like it would be really risky. So they just brought everything to the house.
Well, the thing I found a little bizarre, I'm wondering what y'all think about, in the credits here, it says Keys is his name.
Oh.
It's like the absentee father figure that kind of comes in. I don't
the scientist guy?
Yeah, he kind of, you know, it's ominous, right? Throughout the movie, you see the keys. And then he talks with Elliot, and he's there at the end of the movie. So it's almost like a stand-in for his absent father.
Kind of.
Yeah, because I was like, why else would this guy be in the movie?
I don't know if it's like...
weird, though, because they kind of like paint him before you actually see him and he talks. Like, he's painted as kind of like this hunter, yeah. Right? Like, and then like he talks and he's like, oh, I feel the exact same way. And it's like, but I feel these weird feelings about you. Like, you're the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, it was hard for me to kind of break that, like, because I feel like the movie immediately wanted you to be like, maybe not be like, he's the greatest person ever, but like, they come from a similar place and he's just trying to do the best he can. But it was his character was a little bit weird for me to connect to, I feel like.
I wondered if it was trying to show that, like, well, everyone's like a person with feelings. Like, I think the thing of this movie was like empathy, and like the real villain was like not having empathy. Like when the government just like descended upon them and they weren't listening to him, and like then at the end that guy like helped them. Like he didn't squeal. Like he could have squealed and spoiled the spaceship thing, you know. But instead, he just like went with the mom to the hill. So that's kind of what I'm thinking, because E.T.'s whole thing is like empathy, and like they get connected to each other and Elliot learns to feel his feelings. So I don't know, that's how I think about it.
Yeah, I just thought of the father thing because it was such an absent part of the movie that,
yeah,
it needed something there, because it's so autobiographical too, right, with Spielberg and his family splitting. And so
yeah, and they mention it so many times, like Mexico
they're constantly like, the mom's constantly like, Mexico, like anytime something goes bad she's like, Mexico. I also want to just note her Halloween costume, because like, duh, F was that. She was like dancer kitty, and she has short blonde hair, but she chose a short blonde curly wig that looked like a perm, like. But then she had like a star wand too. So I was like, what is she supposed to be? What is she supposed to be?
Well, you have that weird moment where like Elliot doesn't come back and she gets in the car and just drives off angrily as a, like, you know,
she's
mom.
Like looking for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she goes, Mexico. She does.
Yes, she does. And then they come into the house. That was a weird moment. Like, they just kind of bust in and kind of look at everything. And then they're, did they bug the house? Is that what happened?
I think that they definitely were listening with like a radio. So then when they confessed to her, that's why they kind of knew what was happening. Like, they were, because we've been watching Narcos. And like, I know that they can like intercept like, sound and stuff, at least in the 80s they could, so that was like something they could do, was just like listen with like a big satellite thing. And so they, I think they heard the kids confess to her. Like, the kids might not have outright said anything for them to be like, this is what's happening, this is what we need to do, but then when they spilled the beans to the mom, like, this is ET, he's an alien, he's sick, like, that's when they were like, go time. Time to go. Go in there now. So I think that's why they just started busting in with the aliens.
Gotcha.
Or with the, I keep saying with the aliens, with the moon suits.
That's better. I don't know which, how you watch this, Richard, but we watched it on Amazon Prime, mm-hmm. and they had the version without the radios where they were holding the shotguns.
Well, I read that Spielberg, so he did all that for the 20th anniversary, and apparently, mm-hmm. and they did something with E.T. where they Star Wars CGI'd him.
No.
You can look up some of that video, and it's awful. So I think Spielberg was like, I should never do this again. And most versions you can watch now of E.T. is the original. Like, they auto-corrected, right? They went back to what worked.
Yeah.
So,
well, that was nice of them to do that.
Yeah, George Lucas, I think, makes it, like, really, really difficult to find, like, the original Star Wars. Like,
there was a lot of Star Wars references in this movie.
Yes, oh, there were.
But I mean, they were friends, right? Like Spielberg and Lucas.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think Spielberg helped.
Well, they worked on, they did Indiana Jones together.
Yeah. So I think he was like a part of Lucasfilm or something. I don't know. I don't know how that works.
Well, in the ETs later show up in the prequel in episode one.
Yeah.
In the whatever the part, like the.
When they have the like big meeting. In the, like, the parliament thing?
No, they don't.
Oh, yeah.
They do. Look it up.
No.
Don't make me watch that whole movie again.
Oh, God. No, I just want to watch it. Oh, God. I'm sure it was just an Easter egg. Like, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they went to college together, right? Didn't they go to, like, film school together?
USC, maybe? Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Know. Also, I read a week apart from this movie, Poltergeist came out. And this, it makes me really want to watch Poltergeist, because that's like, he shadow directed that movie. And it's two different middle class suburban families getting introduced by these forces or this new thing that's, you know, either breaking it apart or bringing it together. So
one thing I really like about this movie is something that I think Spielberg does really well. And I think movies kind of become more classic when you focus on this, is just like making the family totally natural, just like having little moments all the time, whether it's just like Gertie being goofy and repeating people that like don't need to be in the movie, or like the kid like backing out of the driveway and like really messing it all up and then like Gertie pointing out, like, he hit the grass here, and he hit it here, and he did that.
Well, that like, came back when they were trying to escape, because he was like, I don't know what to do. I've never driven forward before. Like,
well, yeah, that was a little joke. But I just mean, like, all the little things like that, like, throughout, like how Elliot was, like, so connected to his toys he had, and, like,
well, yeah,
it just felt very natural.
Yeah, the D&D scene. Like, I think when kids are talking over each other and it's kind of chaotic, that always feels very natural, because that's exactly what happens.
Yeah.
And it felt real, and it felt, and I think like that scene right in the beginning kind of helped you feel immediate, like ground that reality of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess kids also say dick breath. Is that what he said?
Penis breath. Penis breath. He literally yelled penis breath, and his mom was like, Elliot. And I like laughed because I've had that reaction so many times at school to like some of the things they say. I'm like, no, like, no, you can't say that. Stop.
Yeah.
But like you laugh a little.
I think the best part of this movie is John Williams and the score. I loved this score. Mm-hmm. And apparently the end of the movie, John Williams had trouble like creating the music for the ending. And mm-hmm. so Spielberg was like, just create whatever you want for the ending. And they edited that to his music, which kind of goes in reverse, right? And mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's why it's so effective. Like by the end of that movie, I'm crying. It's beautiful. I'm like, this is movie magic right here.
It's interesting because I did notice there was like one part in particular right at that end where I was like, why are we like just cutting to this scene? Like it felt a little bit like that felt like that shot shouldn't have been in there, but it was really only like one shot, mm-hmm. but it makes a lot more sense if it was like, because that music was sweeping and did like really kind of like connect with you emotionally.
That's my favorite part when they get on the bikes and that the I don't even know what it was, that like really high pitched music starts up mm-hmm. when they're like take him out of the car, out of the van, and then they start riding the bikes and they're chasing them. Yeah. And then it's like dun, 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 zoom in on ET. We're flying.
I think, what do you guys think? Does this movie hold up?
Yeah, obviously. God.
I mean, I think it holds up more than I put it in like an upper pantheon of sci-fi movies, but mm-hmm. it's like one of the best movies ever made.
Yeah, it is. It's so good.
Yeah. It's very silly that we're doing it on our podcast.
I just wanted to revisit it, you know, get some nostalgia. What was your favorite part? Because I already said mine. Okay.
I mean, I think my favorite part is the moment when they're running away from the police for the final time, where the kid was an idiot, was like, yo, let's split up. The cops are going to follow the ET little bundle, right?
Right, yeah.
Never split the party.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the best moment when the sweeping music comes as they fly together. Like that's where you really just feel like a human being.
No, my favorite moment was when Gertie dressed up E.T.
Oh, and dragged. Yeah.
Yeah. I also think it's really funny having watched what's that Netflix show, that horror show? Haunting of Hill House?
Oh yeah, the dad.
Because Elliot plays the dad in that show.
Oh.
And like, I don't think I've ever seen him in anything else. I think that's the only other thing I've seen him in. And he looks exactly the same, just bigger. Like he still carries himself the same way. His face looks exactly the same. It's so weird.
I think he was in some movie with Brad Pitt or something where they were like brothers.
Is this a secret?
I don't know.
It's like some romance-y movie from like
when him and Brad Pitt fell in love.
Yeah. I'm looking it up.
It also made me want to watch The Wedding Singer. because Drew Barrymore. And that's a movie from our childhood that we don't know if it holds up or not. So
yeah, I've never seen it. So could be good.
Yeah.
Oh, Legends of the Fall. Legends of the Fall.
Gotcha.
You made that up.
No.
It's not real.
What was I going to say? Apparently, this is when Drew Barrymore's life went off the rails. Because you see her in this and you're like, oh, so cute. Like, apparently at the time in Hollywood, people were like, oh, look at the cute little child. Let's give her some cocaine. You'll like this. Yeah, that's what she said happened to her.
I don't think they were giving a seven-year-old cocaine.
They thought it was funny. Yes, they did. That's what she said.
Oh. Yeah. Wow.
Well, allegedly.
I'm glad they didn't film that.
Making unsubstantiated claims.
Well, I don't know if it was cocaine, but she said that she was offered drugs a lot as a small child because they thought it was funny.
Wow.
I don't know who they is. No names are being thrown out. I'm just saying. Hollywood people who can say.
Yeah. So next week we're watching The Godfather, right? Are we just going to continue watching movies that are... universally acclaimed. Yeah, Star Wars, of course, yeah.
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah. I just loved this movie as a kid. I hadn't seen it in a while.
Well, that's why you just go and watch it.
But I thought it would be okay. You agreed to this.
Yeah. I guess if I had one complaint, it would be the product placement was so obvious. Like,
Coke.
I was like,
Reese's
okay.
Pieces.
Yeah, I was like, all right. And so that was kind of earlier in the movie. And I was kind of like, is this whole movie just an advertisement? Kind of made me a little pissed. And then it turns into that sweeping, like, beautiful, I'm crying kind of thing. And I'm like, oh, that's right. That's right. That's why I love it.
Coors. He got drunk on Coors.
That's right. He's middle America.
Yeah, my favorite was when he was eating the McDonald's French fries when he was getting on the spaceship at the end.
Yeah. Did he? No, he didn't. You were just making that up.
And apparently there was a deleted scene with Harrison Ford as the principal.
That didn't happen. Would the mom have been like, ooh, eyebrows. Who cares about Mexico? Probably. Because that was like Indiana Jones time in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. That was like peak Ford. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She would have written on her eyelids.
Like, Mexico who?
Well, any other thoughts you guys have about E.T. before we wrap up?
No.
No, that was it.
You should watch it if you haven't in a while. It's fun.
And it's for free. Well, not for free. If you have a subscription to Amazon, you can watch it.
Nothing is free. Life is pain.
You don't have to pay extra.
So check it out if you have Amazon Prime or if you just have the DVD lying around somewhere in your house. Maybe don't watch the 20th anniversary edition. Yeah. I don't know. We didn't watch it, so I can't keep my opinion on that. But we'll talk to y'all more next week. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Shoulder.
Cats.
Radio.
Dot com.